Motorsport 411 presents
all the four and two-wheeled action.
Motorsport 411 with Sean Cardavillas.
Welcome to Motorsport 411. Your home for all your four and two-wheel action in Africa. Hi, my name is Mary Miller, sitting in for Sean Cardavillas, who's not feeling well. Our thoughts and prayers are with you, Sean. Get well soon. Coming up on this episode, we recap the fourth round of the Kenya National Karting Championship with Mr. Bagesh Chandaria, who gives us more insights on the championship from a parent's perspective. We also cross borders to neighboring Uganda as we recap the second round of the National Rally Championship, Kaliro EMC Rally, with former navigator and journalist Leon Senyange. Finally, we have an exclusive interview with the most talked about motorsport person this week, Kenya's Salim Wali Mohammed, making history as the first Kenyan to ever compete and finish the grueling five-day Abu Dhabi Desert Challenge, the second round of the FIA Rally Raid.
All the four and two-wheeled action. Motorsport 411.
Welcome to the show. Now, the fourth round of the Kenya National Karting Championship was held at Whistling Morans this past weekend. To recap this event, I have a special guest, an avid supporter and loving dad, to 12-year-old Shane Chandaria, who competes in the 60cc class. Welcome to the show, Bagesh.
Hi, Mary. I'm doing very well.
So how was the karting championship this past weekend?
Hot and sweaty. It was sweltering in Whistling Morans on Sunday. For round four, but yes, the event went very well. The organizers did a great job of keeping time, making sure that the different categories were lining up as we were supposed to. So yeah, it was a great day.
Your son Shane competed in the 60cc class. How did he perform?
He did very well. Shane, our son, he races the 60cc Cadet, and he won.
Wow.
Which was great, and he's definitely done a personal best, and informally from what we hear was that from a race perspective, he's broken the track record for this from the last few years that we know of. So yeah, it was quite a strong day for us.
That's amazing. Shane, congratulations to him for winning the class. And more, securing an all-time track record. So when did he start karting?
I mean, the racing karts since late 2018 is when we first got him a very old kart. But he's been kicking me out of bed since he was like six and a half every Sunday morning when we used to just go to one of the sort of fun tracks. And it's only after a year of that I realized how serious he is about wanting to get into karting. So and me not coming from a motorsports background, we were treading that water very, very, very carefully in the beginning.
For you as a parent, what has been your experience supporting your son in karting?
For us, it was what was initially a very much a father and son effort. It's becoming more of a family effort because my young nephew has recently joined into karting. So my brother and myself with our two boys, and generally when the races are on Sundays, our family joins. And since last year, my daughter's been coming as well, and she helps out with the mechanics in actually helping set up the karts, etc. So it's been super from a family bonding perspective.
Looking at karting, is it an expensive endeavor?
I think there is no motorsports that's not expensive. Yes, the truth be told, it is quite expensive. I mean, there is the cost of the initial purchase, of course, but not only that, the operational costs of every weekend can run high from, you know, the entrance fees and depending on what breaks down on the day. You're looking at a weekend of racing costing you in the region of, you know, 300 to 500 US dollars. That takes into account all the general costs, operational costs.
Nonetheless, the beauty of motorsport, the event experience overtakes price. What's the atmosphere like at a karting event, Bagesh?
It's highly charged. There is a lot of energy that you can feel in the pit lane, because you know you can imagine the amount of activity that goes on. It's definitely not a quiet place, because we're all setting up carts, we're all revving them on the stands. I mean, if anybody even has a little bit of petrol headedness in them, they would absolutely love coming and watching us kart. I mean, forget the race itself, but the times in between, just seeing the interaction, seeing what goes on. There is, frankly speaking, I think nobody sits for more than 5% of the total time over there. So, you know, that's how it is.
It's a competition and there's rivalry on the track. And as a parent, we know expectations are high. So how is the karting fraternity?
I mean, for sure, it is a competition. So as every parent would want their child, you know, to be at the top of that podium. But having said that, it's a very friendly environment. We do help each other out. We have all created bonds. And I think as a fraternity, I can see we are very welcoming to new families as well. So there is definitely the competitiveness when you know the kids are actually out on the track. But as soon as they are back, you will be amazed to see how the kids play with each other. Parents talk to each other. We have our banter, we have our lightheartedness. It's at least for myself, it gives me an avenue to meet people from very different walks of life than, you know, my own circumstances.
Mm. As a parent, how has your son benefited from karting?
Wow. I'll tell you one thing. It's a very character building, a sort of a journey. And it probably not just motorsports, but any sport. Like when I look at Shane, I'll talk about his monomaniacal focus on wanting to be the best at karting, with a much bigger aim for his own future, his dedication to the discipline that is required to be a good karter. So that comes down not just training, but there is the nutrition thing, you know, there is the learning part of it. So, you know, developing that sense of hearing, seeing, and then putting it into action. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's almost like he's a mentor for me when I see him, not just participation, but when he's preparing himself for racing and for karting. So it's a huge, huge character builder. I mean, and these are lessons that even if motorsports is not going to be his career in the future, in case if it isn't, it's still lessons that will hold him in anything in life.
In your opinion, what is the future of karting in the country?
I think the future is on a rise. It's going towards the positive. I mean, there are a couple of things that have us excited. One is just that we have seen, compared to last year, a lot more interest in the sport. We still have to see that interest come to fruition in terms of the number of participants, but definitely there is interest out there. We can see the organizers or some of the leaders of the or the authorities behind karting now putting some serious effort in creating awareness. And the big one, I think, is the FIA-led effort to create an Africa Karting Cup or an Africa Karting Championship. And from the little bit that we understand, Kenya is going to be one of the five countries in Africa where we will be hosting this event. I think that is huge. I mean, if we go to the international, at the top epitome of motorsports, we are not represented well from Africa there. And this effort by FIA at the grassroots level, which is what karting is frankly speaking, the brightest light at the moment for the future of motorsports in Kenya or in East Africa in general.
Finally, Bagesh, as a dad or parent who enjoys seeing your son Shane compete in the karting tracks, how do you balance the love of sports and love for school?
His mom makes sure that he balances that. Look, yes, absolutely. There are things that are not normal. So weekends are sometimes dedicated to practice karting development, where maybe, you know, a child not in this kind of a sport may have a lot more free time at hand. But we as parents believe in schooling, and we are strict when it comes to that the schoolwork has to be, completed and in line with what is expected if karting is to continue as a sport. So it's a beautiful carrot and stick process that works here.
Thank you, Bagesh, for sharing your experience. It was really nice chatting with you.
Thanks, Mary, for this opportunity to give a parent's perspective. And we hope there will be a lot more spectators and participants in karting.
That's Bagesh Chandaria, father to Shane Chandaria, winner of the 60cc class in the fourth round of the Kenya National Karting Championship. We'll be back.
All the four and two-wheeled action.
Motorsport 411.
Welcome back. Now we take a trip to Uganda, the pearl of Africa, and recap the second round of the National Rally Championship. Kaliro Sugar EMC Rally with former navigator and journalist Leon Senyange. Leon, great to hear from you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fantastic to be here. From across the border, we follow a lot about Kenyan rallying, just as much as you follow a lot about Ugandan rallying. Personally, time out of the cockpit is definitely not as exciting. But we follow up on things there, and it's the sport we love at the end of it all.
How was the Kaliro Sugar EMC rally?
Well, I think for many local fans, they were looking forward to the rally in the East now. The last event in the East was last year, towards the end of, actually it was the season closure. Heavy rains and not as exciting of a drive from the competitors. But this time, the weather played very, very good for the competition. There was approximately over 40 competitors in that event. So that provided a very good number. And a sense of competition going into that race. Some of the names that had missed in the first round, like Rajiv Ruparelia, he came through. Hassan Alwi as well, he came in to compete in the event in the East. So it provided this excitement for the fans and for the sense of it all. There are drivers who had missed the points in the opening round, but most importantly, Duncan Mubiru, Chikankane, many of you have followed him and watched him. He brought in the Ford Fiesta Proto just hours before the race on Saturday. So definitely, I think he was the guy to look out for. He was the guy to see how he would drive in that new car. And it added energy and a spark to the event. On a whole, Saturday went well with two stages of in the morning, then the super special. Thousands of fans are going to that super special and watching. Unfortunately, Duncan rolled his car there, a bit of a cosmetic damage, so he was able to compete on Sunday. It was very good for him to stay in the race. Sunday was a very competitive one. The competitors did three stages. Now, there was a cancellation of the last two. Specifically because of the one thing we say here is our strength, but also our greatest weakness. It is our fans. While they were there in droves watching the event, of course, they create a bit of a risk to the competition, to the organization. And it's one issue we need to really work on as Uganda, safety at that. But on the whole, Posiano Rakataka wrapped up the event with a 2 seconds win, a victory over Hassan Alwi. Very competitive. If probably they had gone for the last two stages, it would have been a neck and neck kind of situation. But Rakataka picked up his second consecutive victory. Definitely his own song now to claim another title. with 200 points in the bag so far. He's already the runaway leader now in the championship. So there's quite good post-event talk about how things went in Jinja, the organization, the competition at all category levels, the NRSC, the two-wheel drive, and the Clubman Rally Championship. And yes, it's bound to be an exciting season for many Ugandans.
So going back to the Kaliru Rally, were there any protests after the two stages were cancelled? Everyone was happy with the results?
Everybody was satisfied with the results. Of course, in any competition like that, and one that has seen competitors exchange stage wins, and one that is tied by a second, you always have a few contestations here and there. But I mean, we have officials, we have marshals, you always rectify those things and ensure that everybody's satisfied with the results that have come through. And that's exactly what happened. And the victory was, of course, taken by Rakataka, who put out a very strong charge on day two to claim that victory. The cancellation of the stages was very, very important for local sport. In the end of it all, you're better safe than sorry in terms of how you manage your funds. And well, we keep preaching the gospel of safety first, and that is paramount in the sport that we do. So definitely, the event went on well, and people are still talking about it. For the other category races, we have Mike Mukula Jr. He's a son to a former driver and a government official. He claimed victory in the Clubman Rally Championship that now has thrown something into a mix in that category championship. The two-wheel drive also is just getting more exciting. And yeah, we created divisions based on the standings from the previous year. A couple of drivers are running away already in the division championship titles. Aine Sodo in Division 2, I think, now has about a 19 points lead over his second place competitor. Rakataka as well has a plus 15 points lead over his closest rival. So, yeah, with the numbers, we see that it's going to be a championship for others to chase against those who are already at the top.
So, Leon, it appears Rakataka is not joking with his Subaru. I mean, back-to-back wins. The Mitsubishi boys must not be happy with this.
He definitely is giving the Mitsubishi drivers a run for their money. It's a car he acquired from Jas Mangat. He has, over the years, learnt it. He knows what to do with it. He's this aggressive kind of driver. And thankfully, he's not having any mechanical challenges with that car so far. With the two back-to-back victories, you definitely have this sense of feeling that Rakataka is doing everything right. In the first championship event, of course, the Subaru came top. Then the Mitsubishis came in thereafter. In this last event, it was a Subaru 1-2 with Hassan Alwi in his Subaru N14, and then Arthur Blake in the Evo 10. So you have this feeling that maybe the Subaru boys have a bit more noise to make this time round than the Evos may want to, because they definitely are struggling in terms of if we were to have a car manufacturer's championship here, Subaru would already be running away with the titles.
Leon, clearly Uganda Rally is also a fight between the Subaru boys and the Mitsubishi boys.
Yes.
So personally, are you a Subaru guy or a Mitsubishi guy?
Well, I have navigated and sat in both cars. But for the longest, I've sat in a Mitsubishi. So I would still, and I've had more championship wins in, event wins in a Mitsubishi. So I would still want to go with a Mitsubishi in terms of which is my favorite of the two.
Awesome. A great highlight was defending champion Duncan Mubiru upgrading to a Ford Fiesta.
Well, I think it's been a long time coming for him to have an upgrade of that nature. But, I mean, at the end of the day, it's now available. He has a car. Put that car on the line. Put Rajiv's VW Polo on the line. We expect that a couple of other drivers will again follow in that line. Ronald Sebuguzi has struggled with his Mitsubishi Evo 10, back-to-back non-finishes. nine finishes. So, well, he probably must be desperate for something new that he should be bringing to town. We've also had a few rumors going about that there'll be two other RF5s coming in. So, yeah, that really brings makes the championship a hot mix. And of when they ever arrive, well, the rally in Uganda will not be the kind you'd want to miss.
Awesome. Just quickly, before I let you go, we have two big motocross events that Uganda will be hosting. The CAC is next month, and rivalry between Kenyan and Ugandan riders will definitely take center stage.
Yes. We have the CSC motocross event in Uganda. It's of course, the rivalry between Uganda and Kenya comes to the fore again, yet again. Uganda is geared for that one. The riders are doing quite a number of rounds getting into that championship event. But mostly beyond the CSC event that we shall be hosting in Garuga, we also have the Africa Motocross of Nations Championship that we shall be hosting later on in August. Now, that for us is what we are describing as the African Cup of Nations football version coming to Uganda. And we are looking forward to having the rest of Africa coming here to compete. Our boys are, you know, turning those revs up a little bit higher, notching those gears and, you know, learning the racetrack and, you know, getting themselves into the zone to see that they really put up a formidable challenge. And who knows, Uganda would love to be the god, would love to be, while being the hosts, would love to be the champions of it. So definitely it's a very good year for us, we hope. And we're putting in all the work to ensure that our riders come top, our drivers also just as much come top.
Thank you so much, Senyange. It was really nice talking to you.
Fantastic. It's a pleasure being here. Lovely. I've enjoyed myself as well.
That is former rally navigator and journalist Leon Senyange. We'll be back.
All the four and two-wheeled action.
Motorsport 411.
Welcome back. Now, the second world round of the FIA Rally Raid Championship was held in Abu Dhabi, and our very own Salim Wali Mohammed from Kenya made us proud by not only competing in this grueling five-day challenge, but finishing the raid, raising Kenya's flag high on the finish ramp. I've got Salim on the line. Salim, my goodness, it's said that you are the third Kenyan to ever complete this challenge. Congratulations, hongera.
First of all, why yake ya Mungu bwana, hiyo mshindano sio mchezo. Wewe eh, ati unapeleka unaingizwa kwa sand dunes na wewe ni Mkenya hujaiona. Unaenda kukwama, kubeba bike, kuanguka, kulia. Unapata shida tuko na ni joto baya sana. So you're struggling with basically learning to ride the sand dunes and then also navigating and then keeping yourself hydrated and safe, which is the key thing always, yeah? But it was a world round for second world round for World Rally Raid Championship. And I am the only Kenyan who has ever entered it. The other two had done a different challenge. It was a Dubai challenge, not an FIA world rally. So we were the first Kenyans to enter. And as Kenyans, we did ourselves proud because we are not quitters. We are dreamers. We know every day we'll push ourselves. Kusukuma vibaya, always. We don't take things lying down. So every morning was very difficult to get back on the bike and endelea. But if a dream, you're there for a dream, you follow through with your dream. You endelea.
Whoa, fascinating stuff. How was the event?
The event was basically 100% sand. So every day you just had, you get your road book and you feed it in. And as you're feeding it into the bike, you have a World Rally bike, of course, and a KTM rally. And you see it straight away in the notes, 82% level 2, level 3 dunes for the whole route, and then 18% sand roads. So basically you would leave at 4 in the morning, you do your road transport, and it's baridi. And for Kenyan, huko ni baridi sana. I tell you, you're freezing in the desert. And then you generally start by 6:30 in the morning, and you just get thrown into it. And you have to do 250 to 300 kilometers per day of nothing but sand dunes. And you struggle with navigation, with the heat, with the level of difficulty of the dunes, The safety, always keeping yourself very safe in life, and making sure you get back to the bivouac every day. And by middle of the day, you basically would have a huge dust storm that would hit you, and you have to struggle with that also.
No way. So how did you prepare for this event, Salim?
Well, I've been riding my whole life, and then all of a sudden in January, I was like, no, I've had enough of watching the Dakar rally, and I said, I have to try it. And it got into my head that let's go and we have to do a qualifier stage for the Dakar. So the closest one was Abu Dhabi Desert Challenge, round two. And so I started preparing mentally and physically for 6 weeks. Akipaka niliwacha kila kitu. Hata pombe iliwachwa, sigara ikawachwa. Unafanya burpees tu, burpees. Na gym. So I prepared for that. But nothing you read or you hear from people, experienced people, would prepare you for the mentality of the size of the dunes, the different color of the dunes, the texture of the sand. It's like your motorcycle, the wheels are always sunk in the sand, like in the water. So you have to get your speed up so fast, basically, to get it up. So nothing would prepare. So my preparation was 6 weeks, but now I've learned about sand dunes.
Unbelievable. Yes. I mean, what made you take up this brutal challenge?
In life, everything I need is a challenge. We must always be challenged in life. We must always challenge ourselves to do better, I think. Yeah, you reach a point where you just want to, what's next? It can't be the same day every day, yeah? And if you have a dream, you pursue your dream and you challenge yourself.
So tell us a bit about yourself. When did you start off-road motorcycling?
Well, from a young age, I had a little monkey bike, a Z50J, and we always had motorcycle basically growing up, yeah? You know, and then you have your teens and you're running around with a motorcycle, you know, trying to be the hip guy. And then in life, it slowly progressed into motocross and then enduro and then a lot of rally race championships in Kenya with a car, with a bike, and then a lot of traveling. So then even now you start traveling all over Africa with a motorcycle and so forth. So now the obvious next challenge is the most extreme motorcycle event in the world. Yeah, is to go and challenge yourself, see if you're worthy of that. Yeah, so that was by the background of me for the riding.
What are your plans this year?
My plan now is to rethink if I will attempt to go for Dakar, because now I basically learned how the whole system works, what you need to be mentally and physically fit, your preparations. I want to see, I'd like to go and ride more dunes now, of course, but more leisurely to learn a bit more and polish the skills. And basically spend more time on the saddle and then see if I have it in me by the middle of the year or towards the end of the year that I will then do a 14-day event. Yeah, because this was a 5-6-day event, so I want to see if I can do a 14-day event. So, but right now, bado mwili meuma. Na inamechoka.
Ati mwili inauma. You have pain all over. You haven't gone for those deep massages yet, have you?
I nimeenda lakini ICD. ICD, how many massages are you going to go for? I'm going to sleep early. I'm waking up late. I'm trying to repair myself. Itafika. Saa itakucha.
Oh, no. I'm just being silly. Okay, so tell us about the bike you were using.
So the one I use in the event is a KTM 450 Rally, and it is the most phenomenal machine I have ever been on. There is nothing that you find standard on any other motorcycle that even KTM makes, unless you buy a factory. I mean, we're talking about extra fuel tanks, batteries, navigation equipment, emergency medical equipment. The exhaust is the size of like a Range Rover V8. It's huge, yeah? You go deaf, and it is so stable and it is fast like you can't believe. It is just shifting. Very, very amazing piece of equipment, that is, I have to say.
Did you buy or you rented?
No, I rented it from a rally team called Dust. They're a Polish team. And so I had a team manager and assistants and mechanics and basically... they would just look after the bike. So you ride the bike the whole day, you come back, you give it to them, they sort it out for you. And then they organize your preparation for the next day. and they take care of all the medical and so forth. So, for example, even if you drop the bike for more than a minute, straight away it sends a message to the headquarters that the bike is down, so that the ambulance is already alerted, the helicopter, you see. So it had all this special equipment on it. And that is what you need to on these events. You have to, safety is key there, yeah? They're very particular about the safety.
How did you manage costs for this event? Did you have a sponsor?
It was actually through a sponsorship. So, of course, my own company had to help, Bush Rover. And then I got a sponsorship from Bunsen Travel and also support from KTM Kenya. Yeah. And support from your best friends. You know what I mean? Support from best friends and family. They're the ones to be there and help you. Yeah. Yeah, and now pocket imekauka. Hakuna kitu. Hata mchanga koko dani ya hiyo dunes.
So what else do you do besides motorsports, Salim? Tuambie.
My background is I was born into Land Rovers, so I've always built Land Rovers and Range Rovers, safari modification preparation, my whole life. We own a company called Bush Rover. And yeah, we still maintain and safari prepare and rebuild old Land Rovers. That is what we do basically day to day. And then, of course, in our lovely country, we travel as much as we can everywhere, yeah, because it's so pretty and beautiful here, yeah.
Salim, I just have to ask how the final kilometers to the finish line were,
yes,
knowing that this is it.
Yes.
You're going to complete the challenge.
that was actually the worst 10 kilometers of my life. Because everything was in pain. My hands were hurting and I kept reading the road book and I thought I was finished, but it wasn't. And there was another 10 kilometers of level 3 dunes. And then I kept saying, oh, not again. Then I would put my arm in my air and start shouting, go, Salim, go, Salim. And then you're doing that like an idiot, unanguka. Because of the sand dunes. So you get up, get yourself together, get moving now. Come on, ongera, utafanya. And then you go, and then you start singing yourself, tutenda, you'll go. Yeah, and as I crossed that finish line, yeah, it was just the most emotional something I've never been through in my life. I mean, if you think marriage is difficult, forget it, guys, man. If you're married, marriage sio kitu, kuoa sio kitu, hey, go and do a desert challenge, world rally. Utarudi utasema kwa bibi nimesamehe.
The iconic picture of you on that finishing ramp holding the Kenyan flag up high has gone viral.
Yes.
What was it like standing there with your bike in your hands holding the flag up high? Salim.
Very, very, very extremely proud to be a Kenyan. Extremely. You know, we have something in us and everyone all of a sudden loved Kenya and they weren't even interested in the top people. They wanted to see Salim and Kenyan and the Kenyan man. That's all they wanted to know. And I was very proud to fly my flag from day one, day two. Every day I had the flag up, even in the bivouac. And the last day was, you were not even thinking about washing. It was change your clothes and grab your flag to go and hold it as high as possible for all of us. That was the most spectacular, I think.
So, Salim, what's your parting shot? Any final words?
I want to say to my riders in Kenya that, you know, all riders in Kenya, that dreams do come true. Whatever you put your head to, whatever you dream about, it will happen. As long as you are disciplined in life, you can conquer it. And your fears are something to be put aside. And every Kenyan has it in them to do whatever they want to do. And I strongly believe our riders here have it in them to do these world rally events. They are very good riders. They are born in the mchanga. We live in the mchanga. And we endure the heat, the pain, and we are disciplined. So I want to see more Kenyans trying for bigger events to get out there, not always focusing Kenya because we are limited here. But if they can, they should push outwards, and start to make names for themselves internationally because they are there. They are there. That's what my parting would be.
Salim, it was great talking to you. I need to let you go. I know you must still be in so much pain holding the phone for so long. And the massage, it has not worked. But maybe you can try acupuncture. Anyway, that was Salim Wali Mohammed, Kenya's first biker to ever compete and finish an FIA round of the World Rally Raid Championship.
Thank you, Mary.
We'll be back.
Motorsports 411 with Sean Cardavillis.
That's it for today. Special thanks to our lovely karting parent, Bagesh Chandaria, former navigator and journalist Leon Senyange, and our local hero and motorsport personality of this week, Salim Wali Mohammed. This show is produced by Lee Kanyotu of Big City Studios and is dedicated to the memory of our Kenyan rally legend Vic Preston Jr., who made all our childhoods all the more richer back in the day. My name is Mary Miller, and until next week, have a great motorsport weekend. Bye!